It's around 6 on Sunday night. Welcome to the Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's one and only listener-supported, member-supported public FM radio station, KX93.5. Tonight my guest is Aurélie Gloyer. Aurélie runs The Grateful Kitchen here in Laguna Beach. She is a nutritionist and gastronome from Belgium, where she ran a very successful food business, also with cooking classes. Her focus is on eating healthy or healthily. She likes to use pure, raw, wherever possible ingredients, at least unprocessed ones. She's going to tell us where we find these things and how we cook with them. I went to one of Aurélie's cooking classes this past week, which was held at Bluebird Canyon Farms here on Bluebird Canyon Drive, a beautiful place for those who might not know it, where they do farm-to-table dinners and a variety of functions, and they grow all their own fresh food. Aurélie is not specifically connected with Bluebird Canyon Farms, but she did have her cooking class there in that lovely environment. She also does them at her husband's restaurant, Brussels Bistro, on Forest Avenue. Whilst Brussels Bistro serve a heartier fare, though they also use tip-top ingredients, Aurélie's cuisine is her own and a little different. At the cooking class, we watched and to some degree helped her prepare the fare for the evening, but mainly we ate it with relish. She had an abundance of pure, fantastic ingredients, things I'd never heard of, like agar-agar, which she used for the pink sauce on beetroot and goat cheesecakes that were our hors d'oeuvre. Here I'll play you a little bit I recorded at our cooking class where she describes this Asian congealing agent.
That's a gelatin, red sea vegetable gelatin, agar-agar. This is the only thing a little bit fancy that I will use. So usually, do you know what's in the gelatin? Yeah, you can buy
horse bones. Of the horses.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The pork bones of our rib.
All that good stuff.
This is super healthier. The Japanese woman each day take hot water with agar agar, and it's super good for the if you have heavy metals in your body. You know what I mean?
For eating big fish.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And it feels like you are completely full, so it reduces a little bit your appetite. And so the Japanese are super skinny, and each day they use that. And when you are doing a detox or something like that, you can use 1 tablespoon each day with hot water, and it's really helped to digest and to evacuate all the toxins.
Is it made from seaweed?
Yeah, made from seaweed, but the only thing, when you want to use it as a gelatin, you have to put it in the water, boil water during minimum 1 minute.
And where do you get that
agar? This one from Whole Food.
When you master the quantity and the process, it's good, but I never succeed.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work with the same recipe. That's completely crazy.
But it worked for us on solidifying the pink sauce on our goat cheese beetroot cakes. The pink sauce was also made with beetroot, and it was in celebration of Valentine's Day. I didn't quite understand how beetroot featured with Valentine's, and everyone laughed at me and explained it was just because it gave the pink hue to the flavorings, and it was the pink, not the beetroot, that was symbolic of Valentine's Day. Our main course was Alaskan cod with leeks with ginger and the same pink cream embellished with seaweed. And then for dessert, we had raw cacao truffles made with soaked cashews, maple syrup, and of course, cacao powder and cacao butter. I'm going to give you the recipe for those, by the way, later in the show. Cacao is different from cocoa because it's made from unroasted cocoa beans. Things that aren't roasted or toasted are more nutritious and obviously less carcinogenic. Also, we sprinkled cacao nibs on top. A kind of slightly bitter chocolatey chips.
Cacao contains theobromine, and that's antidepressive. That's really good. It's a lot of antioxidants. One of the healthier things in the world. With good sugar, that's super great, but you have to eat and buy it around.
Aurélie likes to use foods as nature created them, as from the earth as possible, and as free of additives, obviously, as possible, and freshly harvested as possible. She has transformed lives with her particular brand of cuisine, her own included, as she'll tell you. And if you listen to her, you have to believe that she can transform personalities as well into ones as lovely and vibrant as her own, since she practices what she preaches. Her business is called Grateful Kitchen because she believes we should be grateful for the abundance of fresh foods, fruits, vegetables, all around us, available to us. Her grateful is spelt as in great, E-A-T, but I think she should have called it Glorious Kitchen because she and her cooking is glorious by name and nature. Here then, on tonight's KX935 Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, is new to Laguna Beach, Aurélie Glorieux, to tell you about her healthy cooking methods.
So how did you get started with this?
I started because I was 18. I started to study kinesiology. I don't know if you heard about that. That's a kind of a medicine who take care of your mind, your body, and your energy. And I was always interested in the whole person, you know. And after that, I worked during 10 years as a applied kinesiologist. I was around 22 when I started. And during like 10 years, I was a kinesiologist. And during this time, I met a lot of people with problems, sometimes mental problems, sometimes problems with their body, with their skin, and a lot of skin things. And I realized that one of the big common problems is that they didn't eat so good. Yes. And so I started to be interested in nutrition. And I met a famous cook in Belgium who just changed everything in the way to eat. And so I took lessons with him and he became like my mentor. And during 5 years, I was always with him and learning a lot of things about nutrition and about this new way to cook. At the same time, I met my husband and he had a restaurant. And so we started to change everything in the restaurant. I made new menus and I started to give a cooking lesson in the restaurant because a lot of people said, oh, but that's good, I would love to learn it. And so I started cooking classes. And after that, I said, okay, but I don't know enough in nutrition. And so during 2 years, I studied nutritherapy.
Say that again, you studied what?
Nutritherapy.
It's a nutritherapy.
Yeah, nutritherapy. Nutritherapy. So I started to coach some people and I started my own business called Detox Pack in Belgium. And I cooked for people for 1 week and they had to pick up their food each 2 days. And everything was gluten-free, diarrhea-free, vibrant, organic, vegan, with perfect oils, virgin, and everything was super, super vibrant, healing food. And that was wonderful because after that I met the people and they told me what's happened during this week, if something changed, and after they wanted to change their habits, and so they came in coaching, and so that was really interesting.
Their dietary habits.
The diet.
Or their other habits too?
Their food habits.
You're listening to Belgian nutritionist Aurélie Glorieux on tonight's KX935 Sharon Hour, talking about her food philosophies and cooking methods for super healthy foods.
So it's a holistic.
Holistic, yeah, but I love the fact that in nutrition it's holistic, but it's just a scientific tool. For the gluten,
biological.
There is a reason to don't eat too much gluten. There is a reason to don't eat a lot of
dairy. What is the reason to not eat too much gluten?
For the gluten, for example, it's just because we eat gluten now in everything, and the wheat is not the same as like 50 years before, and so for your guts, that's really difficult to digest, and you make a lot of mucus in your guts, and sometimes it creates a lot of problems, skin problem, mental problem, a lot of tiredness, a lot of things can happen, and when you stop gluten, you can feel really better and more energized.
So what has changed with the wheat? Because you know, you wonder whether these are just fads. All of a sudden it's no gluten and then it's no chocolate and then suddenly cocoa is very good for you and then no wine and then suddenly wine is very good for you. Yesterday on the news they said a glass of wine was a good antidepressant.
Yeah.
But you always think of alcohol as a depressant. So, that you know, every now and then it changes.
Everything changed.
There's an industry behind it that it's to their benefit that things change. So tell me about gluten, and is it real, and what's changed with the wheat?
You know what? The only thing that I really trust is the fact that for some people something can be good, and for other one they can't be good, you know?
Yes.
And so what I trust is to eat more as nature gives us the product, you know, something natural.
Yes.
And the fact with the gluten is that now we eat a lot of processed food and ready-to-eat meals, and for some reason in the industry they add gluten in everything, in your ham.
What is gluten?
So that's a protein in the wheat. There are different kinds, just because now that's difficult to explain in English for more.
Try in French. See if I can translate.
Okay. C'est le fait qu'en fait le blé maintenant avec toute l'industrialisation en fait le blé on le fait pousser, les terres sont plus les mêmes.
It's too much for me. Sorry.
No. Ancient grains like
yes.
Kamut or spelt that we used before, it had like 7 chromosomes, and now the wheat contain like 21 chromosomes. They are like genetic monsters, because we changed the wheat because this one is easier to grow, to raffine, to cultivate for a lot of things, and easier to make pastries. But no, for the pastries, for example, for the bread, before they used like levain, like yeast, you know?
Yes.
Yeast in the bread.
Yes.
And they put the yeast. They had to wait like 12 hours before to put the bread in the oven.
That's
there
right.
were like enzymes in the bread. And no, they just do everything. Paf, paf, paf. They don't use yeast anymore. They use bad wheat. There is no enzyme because they didn't take the time to wait. Everything is just about production, and money, you know? And it's the reason why. It's like if we had a maximum, everybody is different, and your maximum is maybe not the same as
right,
mine.
Exactly.
Maximum gluten that we can eat in our life, you know?
Right. And one culturally, day, we're all different yeah. inside yeah. as well, aren't we? I mean, there are things that we can't eat in the Western
yeah.
world that everybody lives on in the Eastern world, and,
yeah.
you know?
Exactly, and so it's the reason why I said, okay, try to eat less gluten as possible. And if you eat gluten, eat good gluten. So like spelt, do your own bread.
Spelt.
That's an ancient grain who contains gluten.
Spelt?
Spelt.
How do you spell it?
S-P-E-L-T. And in Europe, for example, we can find a lot of bread like this with spelt, and we really use this grain. And here, it's not the same, it's processed. And I know it because sometimes when I just moved 1 year ago, I tried to sprout my spelt and it didn't work. And so I know that it's not a whole grain, and that it was processed, because with a whole grain of spelt, when I did it in Belgium, I had a sprout and it was germinated,
okay.
you know?
So process means it's all the live thing inside it is taken away.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
exactly
it
that.
Regrow it. So.
Yeah, it's just because the best way to eat is just to eat the product as nature gives us, you know. You've got fruits, vegetable, oils, because you take some products to make an oil. It's important to eat virgin oil, unprocessed, unrefined, cold pressure. So you have the nuts.
And Aurélie, that's Aurélie Glorieux, my guest on tonight's KX935, Sharon Hour, had a lot to say about nuts in the cooking class of hers that I attended. Not the crazy kind of nuts, but the edible kind.
I always soak my nuts.
Technique.
Because two reasons. The first reason is there is phytic acid in the nuts that's really hard to digest, and that's like a kind of little poison. And so in the nature, when the nuts fell on the ground, they have this acid phytic, and they have to be rinsed by the rain, and it takes some time before to be ready to eat. The human just now take the nuts, don't rinse it, eat them directly, and so there is still this acid phytic acid. And the second reason is that when you soak your nuts, you like wake up the grain because the grain is sleeping, and so you have like 10 times more nutrients in a soaked grain than in another one. So more vitamin, more minerals, and that's really easier to digest because the grain contains enzyme, and so you don't use your digestive enzymes, and so really easier to digest, more nutrients.
Okay, so is it like sprouting them?
Not sprouting, it's exactly the same, but sometimes it takes more time. For the nuts, you just have to put them in the water between 4 and 12 hours, not more. If you don't directly use all your nuts, what you do, you rinse them and you put them in the fridge. It stops the germination, and so you can keep them during like 24 hours more. You don't have to eat everything. And because if you let your nuts outside, maybe they will ferment. And I do the same for the legumes, so chickpeas, lentils, and everything.
So how long do you soak them for?
For the nuts, that's different because you can do it during like 74 hours. And so you just have to put them in the water during 12 hours after you rinse them, and you put them in something where the water can
drain.
Yeah, and you have to rinse them each 12 hours, and that's it. Just when they are germinating. When I don't know, I put an ing in. when they are germinating, they are like heating, and so you have to put water, so the temperature just come to be low, and oh, it doesn't ferment.
So every 12 hours for how many hours?
So for the for example quinoa or lentils, you can put it in the water during 12 hours, then rinse it, and each 12 hours during like 2 or 3 days you can rinse. And so after, for a chickpea for example, if you start to cook a chickpea and you didn't soak it, it will take like 40 minutes minimum. When it's soaked, you can just steam your chickpea like 5 minutes in your steamer.
Wow.
So when I do falafels, I always soak my lentils or my chickpeas. After that, after 2 days, I just process them with a lot of steam inside, and I cook them in my steamer in 5 minutes, like a delicious falafel.
If you have soaked them though, then how quickly do you have to eat them?
When they are soaked, if you don't want to eat them directly, you put them in the fridge during 2 or 3 days.
So it's like a 3-day process to do it?
No, no, you can stop it after 12 hours. You don't have to do the 3 days.
Overnight.
You can put it just one night, that's okay.
Okay.
1 day it's okay, 2 days it's okay, 3 days it's okay.
No, because I remember once doing cassoulet and running home from the office, drain them and soak them and then put them back in. And
yeah,
I said never ever again.
Never. Yeah, no, that's super hard.
So don't buy roasted nuts, buy raw ones. Orly Gloria reiterated when, subsequent to doing the cooking class with her, I interviewed her for this Cakes 935 Share an Hour.
With nuts you can make butter, like almond butter, cashew butter, that's super natural. So don't use your nuts toasted, use them raw.
That's a little joke between us, I'll explain in a minute.
Very good, you're getting raw. Good.
Yeah, I'm raw. Yeah, raw. And
you did it though.
I tried. Raw, like R-O-O-H.
Okay. Actually more like R-O-A-R.
R-O-A-R. Oh yeah, raw.
Okay, Arlie, you're never going to get that wrong again. It's funny, a couple of weeks ago I did a Share an Hour show about learning a new language, and in fact, our facial muscles contort to our mother tongue, which is why we have a hard time sometimes pronouncing particularly vowels in a language that isn't our mother tongue, because our muscles have formed around certain sounds. With Arlie, that's Arlie Glorieux, my guest on tonight's KX935 Share an Hour with me, Sharon James. Because she's dealing in raw ingredients, and it's basically the foundation of her business and philosophy, eating raw, it's quite important that she can pronounce it, and she was pronouncing it raw because her mouth was stretching outwards instead of forwards. It was just a very difficult vowel formation for her. other languages, Asian speakers have hard times around consonants, but speakers of Romance languages have hard times around the vowels. Anyway, that's not the topic of my share in our tonight. Tonight, it's all about my interviewee, Aurélie Glorieux, who is a culinary expert with a focus on healthy cooking with as pure ingredients as you can get, which usually means raw, fresh, organic, or at least unprocessed vegetables and fruits, sauces, seasonings, and oils.
For the example, for the olives, the best way to do it, they press the olives slowly to have the juice of the olive, and it's just pure olive juice, and that's the best olive oil. Okay. But sometimes they do it in a big machine, they warm it to have a lot of oil, and they do it one time, and a second time, and a third time, and so you can buy some processed oil, and that's the third version.
Why would they process it three times?
Just because to have everything, so they don't lose
nothing.
To
squeeze everything they can out of the skin.
But so there is nothing in the third one, you know, nothing good.
Here's what I understand happens when they process oils. Let's take something like canola oil, which we often cook with. So there is no canola like there is an olive. Canola oil is apparently made from a hybrid version of the rapeseed, and that's most likely genetically modified and most likely treated with pesticides. The rapeseeds are then heated at unnaturally high temperatures. They are processed with a petroleum solvent to extract the oils, then heated more with some added acid, that's to remove the wax solids that form during the first processing. Then they're often treated with more chemicals to improve the colour. Then the oil is deodorized to mask the smell of the chemical processing. And so by the time you are using it, it's got a lot of bad things added to it. It's been heated and reheated to remove any of the nutrients that might have been there in the first place, and it's introducing fatty acids into your system. Compare that to cold-pressed oils, like extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and certain coconut oils, organic ones if possible. Walnut oil, flaxseed oil, macadamia nut oil are also usually okay, though not great for high-heat cooking. But let's get back to Aurélie Glorieux, my guest on tonight's Cakes 935 Share now with me, Sharon James, to tell us more particularly about the super healthy food she buys and cooks with.
I know you say everybody is particular, but if there were a universal in a food, can you think of any universals? Something that helps if you have joint problems, something that helps if you have sad disorder, something that helps?
I think if you have like a disease, for all disease and problems, I think you have to be super strict in your diet, and that's universal. And so it's really to eat super natural food during like 6 months. And so no dairy, no gluten, no raffinated sugar, nothing processed. And so you can eat a lot of things. You can have this famous bread, you can do smoothie, you can eat a lot of fruits in the morning with nuts, you could eat avocado with a gluten-free toast, and after you can have a big salad, you can add legumes or cereals gluten-free like quinoa, rice, like amaranth, a lot of cereals, but buckwheat gluten-free, or legumes like lentils, chickpeas. And for your dinner, exactly the same. You can eat meat and fish too, but try to eat really good one, good quality.
And where do you find good quality meat?
For me, because I don't know everything here because I'm new, I eat especially no meat, but for my kids sometimes, I buy it on the farm in San Juan Capistrano, just near the ecology center, and they have grass-fed beef, no antibiotics, they eat organic, so that's real good quality.
Aurélie, that's Aurélie Glorieux, my guest on tonight's Cakes 935 Share now with me, Sharon James, is referring to South Coast Farms in San Juan Capistrano. I didn't know it existed, actually, but I looked it up, southcoastfarms.com. It's a wonderful looking organic farm store right there near the Ecology Center in San Juan Capistrano.
And they have good eggs, too, cage-free.
You don't keep chickens?
No, yourself. No.
Will you do that, do you think? Would you do that? Would you like to do that? Keep chickens?
At home.
At home?
But, have your eggs? No, you know what? I am afraid of chickens.
You are?
I can't explain why.
Specifically chickens, yes, or just any animals?
No. I love, oh yeah, but especially chicken. I don't know why. And I had chickens in my garden in Belgium, and I hate that. I don't know why. It's like my mom who take care about the chicken, and no, I never want to have chicken.
What is it about them that
frightens you? I don't know,
you?
But it's just, I think it's one of the most reason is the fact that we have fox in Belgium, and so they killed the chicken.
So you were
and
scared.
Sometimes they all the chicken were like dead with blood everywhere,
oh.
And so I don't know what, but I did an amalgam, and so I am afraid now.
Well, that's enough of that. Don't want to scare poor Aurelie to death. Sort of scared me too. But I try not to think about it too much. I actually do eat chickens. I don't eat much meat, but I will eat a poor chicken.
Some people call it a fowl. That's the story I heard. But let them call it this and let them call it that. A chicken ain't nothing but a bird. A dish for old Caesar, also King Henry III. But Columbus was smart, said you can't fool me, a chicken ain't nothing but a bird.
Dead.
But I try to eat only fish and eggs, and that's it for me.
Yeah.
But I trust that you can eat meat, and some people need meat. So to come back to the universal diet, just something really natural,
yeah,
and processed, good way to cook. So the best way is to steam cook or slow cook in the oven. And just barbecue.
You had a very nice steamer there.
Yeah.
Is that from a kitchen supply store? Is
I don't know, because my friend Thomas, my husband's partner at the Brussels Bistro, bought everything for me before I came. And so when I arrived here, I had my Vitamix, I had my juicer, I had my everything, my KitchenAid.
Do you have a large kitchen?
Regular one.
Okay,
I had a big one, a huge one in Belgium. That's smaller, but that's okay.
That's your ideal, because we live in the kitchen, don't we?
I live in my kitchen.
And everyone tends to congregate in the kitchen, at least when they first arrive at your house, right? A reminder here that you're tuned to the Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's one and only KX935. My guest tonight is newly transplanted from Belgium to Laguna Beach, nutritionist and kinesiologist, Aurelie Glorieux. For those of you who've never heard of kinesiology, it's a relatively new branch within the sciences of health and well-being that relates to body movement, motor skills, muscles. Our nervous system is constantly sending messages throughout the body, and sometimes they get transmitted at a lower frequency than they should, resulting in a weakening of what the muscles are supposed to be doing. Kinesiology is about correcting these misfires and restoring balance to these neurological and motor-related functions. A kinesiologist can interpret muscle language, as it were, in order to restore the proper frequency or unblock those channels of communication that are malfunctioning and causing various aches and pains, headaches, stomach aches, neck aches, that kind of thing. By analysing where and how those misfires are occurring and locating the source in a similar way to acupuncture and those other more ancient Asian sciences and alternative medicines that are preoccupied with energy, qi in the body. As I understand it, kinesiology also incorporates those kind of processes, acupuncture and the like, but without the needles necessarily, and with simple muscle tests that you can learn to do on yourself. But kinesiology and its foundation is a whole other topic that I should perhaps dedicate a future share an hour to specifically. For my guest on tonight's KX935 share an hour, Aurélie Glorieux, it's yet another way in her repertoire of achieving balance in the body and mind. She can do it through muscle testing, but these days she is more focused on doing it through nutrition, as she did so deftly in preparing the menu for her recent cooking class I attended at Luba Canyon Farms.
I love to equilibrate, to balance the taste, and so we've got something sweet with the beetroot, something like salty with the goat cheese, something like spicy with that, something with vinegar to have the acidity.
I asked Aurélie when, how, and why this focus on healthy cooking and eating became such an integral part of her life.
I started to be conscious of my food when I was around 20 because of my teachers, because of all the person I met when I was studying kinesiology. It's what I did during 4 years. And so I started to eat organic. It was like 20 years ago. I started to eat like this for myself because I had asthma. I had a lot of allergies.
Like, for instance, what allergies?
Poussière, you know, poussière.
Oh, dust.
Dust. I know how to say that in English. Les poils de chien et de chat et de tout.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dog hair.
Dog hair and, each hair of animals. But it was really crazy because I had to do shots each 3 days. Wow. I was completely asthmatic.
You completely blocked?
Completely blocked. I had to put water in my nose. But it was a kind of handicap. And when I start to study the kinesiology, first thing they said, okay, stop diarrhea. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, you have to stop. It completely changed my body. And I was always like sick. I had like a lot of throat pain and bronchitis. I never had again. I never had again.
Fantastic.
And I am, I think, the healthier person. I touched the wood, but really, I never have nothing now. And so I really trust that to stop the dairy could really help.
Can you eat almond milk?
Yeah. I do a lot. And I do by myself, my nut milk, all my nut milk. And sometimes I can eat dairy. Like with you, I just took a coffee because I don't eat too much. But I had to completely stop during like 1 or 2 years. Now, I can reintroduce a little bit if I want, not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And after that, I start to work with some patient, if I can say that, during 10 years before to come here. And I realized that if you have some psoriasis, you know, this skin...
Psoriasis.
You can do a lot of things for your mental to maybe understand the reason why and to do something energetic. But if you don't change your food, this psoriasis always stay. And I realized, and my husband has got psoriasis, and so I did a lot of things with him, and the only way to treat it is to change your food.
You know what cured my father? Our dog. He licked it and it went away.
Ah, yeah. And the tail.
Yeah, he licked and licked and licked and licked.
Yeah, and sometimes they said, it's
something in the tongue, I guess.
Yeah.
Shameless, that's the dog who's outside. Well, I was in the kitchen. Shameless, my house outside. Well, the sun sinks slowly. Sat right down and
maybe it was all the love in that lick that cured my dad's psoriasis. Or maybe it was just coincidental with the dog ingratiating itself into the kitchen where all this curative, healthy food was being prepared according to the culinary values of nutritionists like my guest on tonight's KX935's Share an Hour, Aurélie Glorieux. Then again, what are we to make of the ministrations of the little fishes?
You can go to the Red Sea in Israel. The little fish can eat your
can
dead
eat
skin.
It.
Yeah, it's just so interesting.
Sometimes I wish I were a fish and I would swish to you on a dish. I'd like to take you to
animal cures. That would be a topic for another Share an Hour with me, Sharon James, on this Laguna's KX935. But tonight we're talking to the lovely Aurélie Glorieux, kinesiologist and nutritionist, about what got her started on cooking for health.
So I realized with some kids, because I worked a lot with kids, they had a focus problems, you know, like couldn't stay focused at school.
ADD
and,
or ODD.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, when they eat less sugar, that completely transformed them. So some parents stressed me and started to do it, completely the diet.
This is in Belgium or here?
In Belgium it was.
Yeah.
And so that was wonderful. And so I said, okay, I have to learn more. And I would love to know how to cook like this. And finally, I love so much to cook, but I didn't know that. I just started to cook and cook, and so my husband has his restaurant, so I start there. And I
had he it. Always cooked for you before?
Yeah, he was cooking for me, and finally I start to cook, and I transform something in the restaurant, and finally we had gluten-free and dairy-free restaurant, one of the first one in Belgium, in Brussels. It was like 10 years ago. And after we had a catering business and we did a lot of healthy stuff on our catering, and I start my own business, really, really, really just super healthy, vibrant food, vegan. In Belgium, it was not famous at this time. And some people said, oh, she's completely fanatic, you know, that's too much. And other people just love that. And so it's the way I became a little bit famous in Belgium with this kind of food.
And it's incorporated into Brussels Bistro
No, everything was in Belgium. And when we moved 1 year ago, I just kept my business, but I sold a part of the business. And so my husband do Brussels Bistro, but I do everything by myself.
So his thing is completely separate. His isn't particularly organized around nutrition, right?
No.
It's just good food.
Yeah, just good food, but nothing about nutrition. No, they do fries, they do beers, they do...
Do you eat that too?
Yeah, because they have their special way to cook the meat. They slow cooked everything, so less than 100 degrees, and during like 24 hours, and so the meat is super melted, and that keep the nutrients, and I know that they use good products. And the mussels and the fish are incredible and super fresh. So when I go there, I eat that.
Did you know your husband growing up?
No.
Did you meet him through foodie channels?
No. I met him from France when I was 25, and he was like 29. And I met him at this time.
Is he French?
He's Belgian.
Is that, so I don't quite know. Do you feel more French or more Flemish? Or
French.
You do feel French.
We both talk Flemish, but we are French. Yes. Our parents are French. I am the only child. My father had a restaurant, and so he was always cooking a lot of good things, and my mom too.
Was the restaurant close to home?
It wasn't so far. It was in the middle of Brussels, and we're a little bit out of Brussels.
And did you grow a lot of your own stuff at home?
No, we didn't do nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. My mom did it, but later, when I was 18. Yes, just mm-hmm. My mom cooked everything, and she loved the small shops. She never went to a big grocery. She loved to go just to buy her vegetables in a specific place and her meat in a specific one. And right. So that's something that I kept.
That's lovely that you grew up. Sometimes, I mean, one can either go against one's family or go for it. So you went full stream ahead with it. And then you went to university?
No, I went 1 year in university and I started psychology. But I moved from kinesiology, and it was not at the university. It was in a private school. And so I did that during 4 years. After that, I traveled during 2 years, and I traveled in India a long time, big part in South America. I went in Sri Lanka, in Vietnam, in Laos, in Cambodia, everywhere in India. That was wonderful.
And do you incorporate those cultures in your recipes?
No, because at this time I didn't cook nothing.
So your food is mainly French based?
Yeah, but now I love the Ayurvedic cook, and so I try to learn a lot of things from Ayurveda and from India. Fantastic. Because I love that, and I love the Asian style, so I love to use like cilantro, lemongrass, ginger a lot, but
it's very good for you. Cardamom and cumin are very good for you.
Cumin, I love it. My sister-in-law is from Morocco, and so I learned a lot of things from her, and so I use all these spices because I think that that's so good. It's so interesting to use all this different kind of thing. And my mom was completely obsessed about vitamins and good things. So each morning I received a kiwi, an orange juice, a lot of milk because she thought that it was super good for the calcium, you know. But so I ate a lot of milk at this time. And I was always outside. I love the nature and about to help the people. It was always my goal in my life to help people and to do good things. And so I started nutritherapy, learning about this new way to cook.
So there's good food, good quality food, and food that's better for you than substandard food. But then there's specifically nutritional food, which people sometimes unfairly shy away from. There are quite a few nutrition specialists around these parts. I've even interviewed a few for my KX935 Sharing Hour, which prompted me to rather bluntly ask tonight's guest, Aurélie Glorieux, what she thought distinguished her from others.
For me, it's just that I know the way to cook and I love food. And so I love to coach people just to change their habits, not to have a particular diet, because I don't trust in one only diet. The only diet that I trust is, like I said, eat as much as nature gives us. That's my diet. And so natural and unprocessed and well-cooked or raw, and that's my diet. And I love to just listen people and to understand what they love and maybe to change in a healthy way, you know. That's yes. Just my way to do it. But my difference is I don't coach so much, just that I love to give cooking lesson and to explain how to do it, and so people can taste it. And after, I think it's so good and so tasty that they can understand that healthy is not boring. Healthy food is not boring, you know. It can just be so gourmet and delicious and easy to do. And so it's my way to change maybe the food habits of the people.
As Aurélie says, her dietary preferences are to do with good nutrition versus dietary fads or losing weight, although a lot of the healthier foods are ultimately far less fattening. But her nutritional values are about healthy food values and even curative ones for allergies, etc. There was this recent study that appeared on the news that intimated that McDonald's French fries were a cure for baldness. Of course, it was somewhat far-fetched. It was based on a Japanese study that discovered a particular chemical compound in the oil that McDonald's uses to cook its fries that helped fallow follicles sprout new healthy hair. But that same compound is also found in nail polish and sunscreen, and we're not going to glug those. Aurélie is concerned with cooking with good, healthy, pure and raw, wherever possible, ingredients to start with, and then making sure they don't lose their nutritional value in the cooking process. And that's what she's focused her whole food philosophy on, and it's what she uses as a foundation for her cooking classes that she gives here in Bluebird Canyon Farms, also at her husband's restaurant, Brussels Bistro, also in San Juan Capistrano, at the Ecology Center. She has a website, gratefulkitchen.com, with grateful spelt with E-A-T, not A-T-E, though she does feel very grateful for the abundance of good, healthy food we have available to us here in middle-class America. And we're lucky enough to have such stores as Sprouts, Mother's, even super expensive Whole Foods, but also Trader Joe's, that have a similar philosophy on offering raw foods, pure oils that have not been stripped of their nutritional value. So we can make use of those in our cooking, and we don't have to be reliant on fast foods and processed foods. Here in Laguna, we're lucky enough also to be able to personally witness Aurélie Glorieux, my guest on tonight's KX935 Share an Hour, demonstrate how to make use of these pure ingredients.
Explain your cooking class. I went to one, but tell our listener how you do it and where you do it and how it works.
So you can choose on my website one cooking class that you are interested in. There are different themes, and so you can take a breakfast one or a legumes one or a Valentine's menu or just a regular menu. So when the people come, we do 3 or 4 different recipes. Usually one sweeter, one like for a starter, and one for a main course. And so we realize everything, and then we enjoy everything together.
And you do it at the farm, but you also do it at
Brussels Bistro, during the day, at Bluebird Canyon Farms during the evening, and during the summer, I organize farm-to-table dinner and lunch. And at the Ecology Center in San Juan Capistrano, and also during the day, and sometimes during the evening. First Saturday for the open door, I give a free like a demo each first Saturday of the month, which was like one vegetable, and I do some recipe with this vegetable, and so you can come each first Saturday at 11, and that's free too.
Fantastic. And how many cooking classes do you do a week?
Like, because I have private group, So I could say maybe 2 per week.
2 a week.
Yeah, and I organize a healthy picnic and yoga on the beach. You can create your group or join us for yoga on the beach. And after that, a healthy picnic that you can share with everybody. Or if you want to eat it with your friends, you're totally able to do that. So that's fun too.
And tell about the breakfast you prepare for your kids.
Ah, a lot of things. I do my own granola. I do my own grain bread. So there is no gluten inside. So for example, for my grain bread, I put sunflower seeds, oats, gluten-free, hazelnuts, psyllium. I add chia grain and I mix everything. And I add a little bit of coconut oil and 2 teaspoons of maple syrup and flax seeds. And after that, I put everything in the oven. I've got a beautiful bread that they like and super healthy. So sometimes they eat that with maybe almond butter or raw honey, or sometimes the granola with homemade almond milk or cashew milk. Sometimes I do buckwheat pancakes. Sometimes I do like a smoothie with a banana and almonds and a date to be a little bit sweeter. I mix everything with water and they have like a banana shake.
You said you add vegetables to confuse them.
Yeah.
And don't tell
all the time I do like vegetables cream, like coconut and curry cream, and I put cauliflower and carrots in the steamer, and after that I mix that with the coconut oil, so the coconut oil stay raw, and I add vegetable broth and curry and a little bit of tamari, mix everything with the water, and I've got a beautiful creamy sauce with a lot of hidden vegetables.
And they don't taste the vegetables.
They don't taste it. And but
what's the main
taste? Now they like it because they are 6 and 7, but like 1 or 2 years ago, it was the best way to
get them to eat their veggies.
Yeah, exactly. And same for winter, during the winter. For example, I take a fennel and some carrots that I steam cooked, because they always said that they don't like fennel. And after I mix fennel, carrots and onion in the steamer, and after I mix with sun-dried tomatoes, some olive oil, some tamari and some water, and I've got a red sauce, like a tomato sauce with a lot of vegetable just steam cooked, and I give them that with like a quinoa pasta, so they have a super good meal, super healthy, and I add some nutritional yeast on the top to have the cheesy taste, and they like it. And
are they gourmand in their
taste? Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
They are.
Yeah,
that's
they are super
cool.
Gourmand, and they do a lot of things with me. They start to love to cook with me. We do the cookies, but they prefer to do the sweet recipes than the other one.
Yes,
but
as
that's
a
great.
Child, always.
Yeah.
In the cooking class I took with my guest on tonight's KX935 Sharon Hour, Aurélie Glorieux, who you're hearing from, one of the people in the class asked her about the Nutella that she also makes for her kids and with her kids.
How do you do the healthy Nutella?
Oh, with hazelnuts and dates. So good. And just put my hazelnut in the oven. They are not soaked. You can do it with soaked hazelnuts. That's even healthier.
Do you like roast them in the oven?
Roast them in the oven, and after I put them in my juicer. And in the juicer, I have another option, that juice, which like mix everything, but I don't need to add water, you know, because it's super hard and too much sticky. Just perfect.
So like a food processor would work.
Yeah. So now we will do the truffles. And after we will eat, because I suppose you are hungry maybe.
And since you weren't there to eat them with us, I thought the least I could do for you, dear listener, is feed you the specifics of the recipe after you've heard Aurélie explain the process.
So here, I've got a soaked cashew again. Don't drink or eat the water, because this water contains the phytic acid.
Okay.
You don't use this water.
Right. Just throw away.
The soaked water, you don't use it. Hups. So, my cashew, my maple syrup.
Any special maple, real maple syrup, or does it
That's the organic maple syrup, the best one that you can find.
Nice.
After that,
vanilla.
Yeah, the vanilla. So I use vanilla extract.
Okay, I have that same one.
Yeah, I have from Sprout. I love Sprout. I try to boycott whole food because it's too much expensive.
Yeah, whole paycheck.
Yeah.
Call it.
Cinnamon. In this recipe, you really need a little bit. If you don't want to put cinnamon, you can replace it maybe by a lavender taste or a pinch of cayenne, but a little bit more than a pinch.
Ooh.
So a pinch of salt. I start to mix that, and after I add my cacao butter. Do you know cacao butter? It's really the taste of the chocolate.
That is good.
It's amazing. Cacao contains theobromine, and that's antidepressive. That's really good.
It's
a lot of antioxidants. And one of the healthier things in the world, with good sugar, that's super great, but you have to eat by it.
So, to make these raw cacao truffles, they taste like chocolate, but they're made from cacao. Aurélie uses 1.5 cups of cashews, soaked, of course, 3/4 cup of either agave or maple syrup, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, a pinch of cayenne, 3/4 cup of cacao butter melted, and 3/4 cup of cacao powder. For the coating, she also uses cacao powder and cacao nibs, slightly crushed, like chocolate chips, but healthy ones made of cacao, which are a little bitter, actually, if you just eat them on their own. So she then blends together the soaked cashews, the maple syrup or agave, vanilla essence, the cinnamon, the cayenne, and the salt until completely smooth, then gradually streams in the melted cacao butter while blending at low speed until emulsified. Then she adds the cacao powder in thirds, blending each time until the cacao powder is well incorporated. She then pours the mixture into a pan or bowl and refrigerates for 2 to 3 hours until the mixture is firm enough to scoop with a small ice cream scoop or a regular spoon to make a small ball, which she then rolls in cacao powder and the cacao nibs until the balls are coated. Then refrigerates again so that they're firm to serve. And they were delicious and healthy, not particularly slimming, but not grossly fattening either, since they're rich, so you can only eat a few. Though we did, all of us managed to polish off the plateful of them very quickly, despite the wonderful hors d'oeuvre and main course we'd already scoffed down.
But I noticed you use maple syrup rather than honey, yeah?
Yeah, but no, I love honey. It's sometimes just because it's easier to use in a recipe, sometimes maple
because
syrup.
It's more liquid.
Mm. And glycemic index sometimes is a little bit less too. But I love honey and I prefer honey. If I had to choose, honey is really like one of the superfood, you know. Be careful to eat raw because sometimes they heat it to extract it.
Oh,
and
to extract
so
it,
it's
yes.
just, okay. You just have to be careful and to read that it's raw.
Well, I'm afraid that's almost it for tonight's Share Now with me, Sharon James. Thank you so much, dear Aurélie Glorieux, fabulous nutritionist and healthy cook. She's the healthiest cook you might ever meet and the nicest natured, possibly. She's all about eating raw and organic wherever possible. She gives cooking classes. You can check her out on gratefulkitchen.com. That's spelt G-R-E-A-T, grateful, as opposed to the conventional way. You can also check this show out again on podcast by going to our kx935.com website. Just go to kx935.com/shows/the-sharon-hour. That's sharing without the G, a pun on my name. Hour with the H. Meantime, this is Sharon James saying, do come back again Sunday nights at 6 for more interviews, topics, discussions, and the occasional recipe for life.
So what's the specialty of the house?
Me! Wonderful lovers, but what a lucky find I'm. I do keep house on a dime. I'd make a wonderful lover. I should be paid overtime, cause I can bake too. On top of the lot, my oven's the hottest you'll find. Yes, I can roast too. My chicken's just stews. My gravy will lose you your mind. I'm a brand new note on the tablet, don't but just try me a la carte. With a single course, you could choke a horse. Maybe you won't know where to start, cause I'm an hors d'oeuvre, a jelly preserve, not in the recipe book. And I want more, baby, I can. What's more, baby, I can. What's more, baby, I can. Sweet old, sweet boy, old, sweet, but up and bob.